Lutheran, Hiawatha, Iowa. Reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading for this weekend is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's page 725, and we read Isaiah 5, beginning at verse 1. This particular reading from Isaiah serves as the basis of the parable that Jesus later tells in our gospel reading. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord.
God.
Our second reading is from Philippians. It's found on page 1257, and we read Philippians 3, beginning at verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1057, and we read Matthew 21, beginning at verse 33. Jesus is speaking. Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first. And they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the Scriptures? The stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for this morning, where the owner of the vineyard seeking fruit sends his son, and his son is killed. This is our text. It's been an interesting couple of weeks in our world. All those tragedies from the hurricanes that have been hitting. And then last week, where a madman goes and kills some 60 people in Las Vegas, injuring some 500. We even had some former members that were present at that concert. And while they were fleeing, someone right next to them was shot and fell over. Don't know if that person survived. They're looking for a motive for what the man did. And at least according to recent news reports, they're still looking. But perhaps the motive has already been revealed. And it's really not that complicated. It's the same motive, if you will, that's found in the killing of servants on multiple occasions, and then finally a man's son. The motive was simply this. The people forgot who they were and forgot what life was about. The tenants in our parable today weren't owners of the land that they were given. And what they were given was given for a specific purpose, that the real owner might get some fruit from their labors. Oh yes, they would certainly share in it. They would probably be blessed abundantly. But the fact remained that the reason the owner gave those tenants the land to work was that he wanted fruit from it. And it was his right. He was the owner. It was his. But while they knew that fact, they didn't like it. They saw life as being only about themselves. They were selfish. And when they thought they had an opportunity to benefit themselves, they seized it. It really didn't matter what they did. They mistreated, beat it, and even killed some of his servants. When the man sent his own son, thinking they might respect him, to the contrary, they thought, now's our chance. We can have it all. The real failure in their thinking was they thought they could have it all by trying to grab it all for themselves. And in doing so, they actually lost it all. We don't know maybe what the specific trigger was, if you will, that caused this man to kill so many. But when you take a look at his life, is he that different from these laborers in the vineyard? He had millions. I don't think he spent it much on charities, do you? He had the time to sit for hours and hours and hours on end in front of video poker machines. I don't think he volunteered at the local hospital, do you? The simple matter is that for him, his life was about him. And whatever he could do to serve him, he would do. And you know what the real tragedy of it all is? Sometimes we're that man too. We get thinking about ourselves. And in our consumed focus on ourselves, we forget that God put us here not to take care of ourselves, but to take care of each other. He's the owner of everything. And he gives us great and wonderful blessings. If you will, if you wonder who's going to take care of you, the answer is he will. He gives us great and wonderful promises. And even when we have so mistreated others, his love is so great that he sent his son for us. And he sent his son to give his life to pay for our sins. In him we have forgiveness and we have eternal life. But we dare not forget what that word means. That word, life. Christ didn't die for us to be a loner in heaven and just sit near a pond fishing all day and never speak to anybody. He didn't design us to just worry about ourselves and take everything that we have and just use it for our own pleasure. He blesses us that with our blessings we might become a blessing to others. And like everybody else in the world, we at times forget that. Ever been a time in your life where, well, maybe it was one of your children, they really needed a hug and you could give it to them, but you had had a lousy day. And your thoughts were all consumed with yourself. And when you got home, what they needed, they didn't receive. They received a scolding because they were getting in your way. Maybe it was somebody at work. Maybe it was your spouse or your parents. Somebody you knew at school. You had in your possession a gift from God. Time. Friendship. Love. That He'd given to you to share with somebody else, but you were so consumed about you and your day that fruit which you possessed in your life, you kept inside. It was yours and you weren't going to give it to anybody because you didn't feel like it. Yes, sometimes we're that man. No real complicated motive, it's really just consumed with ourselves and our life and what we want. And then somebody gets in our way, we shove them to the side and just worry about me, myself, and I. Christ didn't die to give us that life. He did die for our sins. But to give us a different life than the life this world is consumed with. A life where we recognize God as owner of all that we have. And He is a loving God. He blesses us abundantly with all kinds of things to serve Him and His kingdom. And He does guard and protect us. Even if you're in some place like Las Vegas and guns are firing, people around you are falling dead, your life is safe with God. What a precious thing to know. Not because of what you have done, but because His Son has already died in your place. But He died to give you a life not like that which the world pursues. He blesses you with, as Luther liked to put it, clothing, shoes, meat, drink, house, home, wife, children, fields, cattle, and all your goods. Hopefully you remember that from your confirmation days. But not just to serve you. He He serves you. But he does so that we can serve each other. And take those fruits that he has poured into our life and offer them up to him and his kingdom. The world doesn't get that. And when God sent his Son into this world, though he was filled with love, though he came to save the world so consumed with itself, killed the Son of God. Yet even in that tragedy, God has done wondrous things. In the death of his Son, forgiveness has been purchased for the whole world, but not for a life centered on self, but for the one life that truly brings blessing, that life that God has called us to begin living now and will have us living for all eternity when we are with him. A life not of focus on self, but a life focused on God and his gifts to us so that we can serve one another. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001. By Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.